our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. Protect us by your strength, and save us from the threatening dangers of our sins. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Well, there's some changes in the church this morning. Did anybody notice anything different in the church this morning? What did you notice? A tree, but you know what? This doesn't look exactly like a Christmas tree. This doesn't look exactly like a Christmas tree because it has only special decorations on it. This is called, you know what it's called? An Advent tree. Some people call it a chrismon tree because all the decorations are called chrismon. That means they're signs of Jesus Christ coming at Christmas. So it's an Advent tree. Anything else did you notice? What did you notice? I'm sorry, what? What else did you notice? What else is new in the church this morning? What did you see? What is that called? It's an Advent wreath. And how many candles does it have on it? Four. And there's four candles on our Advent banner. Four candles on our Advent wreath, four candles on our Advent banner. So 4 weeks of Advent, waiting for Christmas, which is the birthday of Jesus. All right, so you are all set. Now off you go to Sunday school to learn even more about Advent. Hold the book up high as we bless you on your way out.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah, the second chapter. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord, the word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 122 responsively. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Jerusalem is built as a city that is at unity with itself. For there are the thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Peace be within your walls and quietness within your towers. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek to do you good. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, the 13th chapter. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "About that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day the Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
And give a very proper welcome to visitors and guests in our congregation this morning. So let me say a special Thanksgiving weekend, first Sunday of Advent, welcome to visitors and guests, to family members, extended family members who are with us today. Thank you for coming to St. Peter's. So does God have an appointment with you? Not do you have an appointment with God, but does God have an appointment with you? Are you expecting a visit from the Lord at a specific time, specific day and hour? Our scripture tells us today that no appointments will be made. On this first Sunday of Advent, our scripture tells us that we cannot know the day or the hour, but that we must always be ready. Now, for most of us, that's a difficult challenge. To always be ready. Do you like unannounced visitors? People who just drop in without giving you a phone call or sending a message ahead of time? Last weekend, the youth group, St. Peter's Phi group, went out on a scavenger hunt. And they went in our neighborhood collecting canned goods to restock the shelves at Loaves and Fishes. So they knocked on doors with no invitation, no announcement. Some places, they were welcomed, given more than they asked for, more than one can of tuna or one can box of macaroni and cheese. Some places, they were given more than they asked for. Other places they went to, they got less than a friendly welcome. In fact, one place, they knew the person was inside because as they knocked on the door the second time, the door closed securely and locked. Some people don't like unexpected, unannounced visitors. Sometimes you're welcome, and sometimes you're not. Last summer when Don and I were traveling through South Dakota, we made a little journey by car, and we stopped along the way visiting family and friends, unannounced, just dropped in. But in some ways, our visit was even expected. We're good friends. You don't just drive by a good friend's home without stopping in and saying hi. So those unannounced, unexpected visits were welcomed. Doesn't seem to matter when it's a good friend, whether the house is all clean or whether you're wearing your dirty work clothes, but you stop what you're doing and take time when it's a good friend or a relative, a good relative. We make time to visit. We make time for the people who we know, who are friends and relatives, who stop in unexpectedly. There are other unexpected, uninvited people that don't receive such a welcome. We often get in the neighborhood here salesmen who are asking us to buy a quantity of some promotional item, something for the business to give away, salespeople. They don't get the same kind of welcome as maybe a neighboring pastor who happens to drop by to say hello. Both unannounced, both uninvited, but not welcomed in the same way. It seems that the relationship that we have determines the warmth of the welcome. Friend or stranger makes the difference. Jesus tells his disciples that they are to expect his return, but that he isn't going to make an appointment. He isn't going to make an appointment for an exact time and an exact hour. We don't know when the coming will be, but expecting it makes all the difference in the way we live. The people in the days of Noah didn't know anything about the coming judgment, but it still came. People were eating and drinking. People were marrying and giving in marriage, and they knew nothing would happen until the flood came and took them away. They were concerned about the ordinary things of life. God didn't have an appointment, and they weren't expecting any unannounced visits. They were too concerned about the daily things of life. There was too much emphasis on the normal cares and necessities of life. Too much caught up in the eating and drinking and the marrying and giving in marriage. So too with us. So too with us, especially during these holiday seasons. How much care and concern do we put into buying and cooking, preparing and eating those great feasts that we have? We certainly don't have time for unexpected visitors. The people at Noah's time were concerned about marrying and giving in marriage. So too with us. Ask any mother of the bride. She'll tell you the wedding day is the most important day in a person's life. Some people spend months. Hey, I've known people who have spent years getting ready for their wedding. They certainly don't have time for unexpected, unannounced visitors. But Jesus tells us there's something more important than feasts and weddings. The Son of Man could come. God could show up without an appointment. He could arrive unexpectedly. And what are you going to tell him? Would you mind coming back later? You know, I got to get these pies made for dinner tomorrow. Would you mind coming back next week? I'm getting married tomorrow. I've got a million things I've got to do. I just don't have time right now. The question that Scripture asks us today is who or what is most important to you right now? in the mid-19th century, there was a popular religion that took a very literal look at these particular verses from Matthew's Gospel that we just read. The righteous were expecting to be taken up into the air to meet Christ on a certain day, at a certain time. And these particular verses led to the practice of a husband and wife not working in the field side by side, or not even working outside, just in case the Lord would come again and take one and leave the other. It's too big of a risk. So if the husband was working in the field, the wife had to stay in the house. Or if the wife was working in the garden, the husband had to stay in the barn or in the house. They wouldn't work outside or inside working together in case one would be taken and one would be left behind. Of course, that's not what this passage is all about. The story does talk about one being taken and one being left, but that word taken doesn't mean to be lifted up into the air. It means to go along with. The word that Jesus used when he took Peter and James and John and went to the mountains to pray, it's the word that you would use if you would say, "Can I take you to lunch?" It's to go along with, to accompany, to be with someone. It's not a special word. It's not a magic word. It's not about floating up into the air. It's more like walking down the road together. So in this story about one being taken and one being left behind, look at what the people are doing when they are taken. They're at work. They're about the ordinary things of life. They're busy about the things that need to be done that day. I would guess that the man in the field who was left because he couldn't leave his important work. He stayed to do his important work. I think it would be safe to say that the woman who was grinding her grain was left because she would not leave her important work. And work is important. You have to work to provide food and shelter for yourself and for your family. But Scripture tells us there's something more important than your work. The Son of Man could come. God might show up without an appointment. He could arrive unexpectedly. What would you tell God if he shows up while you are at work? "Sorry, did you call for an appointment? I'm really swamped right now. How about next week?" The Scripture asks the question, who or what is most important in your life right now? You don't know when a thief might break into your house, so you're always prepared. I see a good number of those security system signs posted around in the neighborhood. I see windows and doors with the extra security bars, anti-theft bars on the parked cars. You lock your doors and your windows. You leave a light on and ask the neighbor to keep an eye on your house if you're gone away for a couple days. You have insurance to protect your personal possessions. You do all these things because a thief could come at some unknown time. A thief isn't going to make an appointment and let you know exactly when. So we need to always be prepared. I can never read this scripture without thinking of the event that happened to me a couple years ago when a thief broke into our yard and stole our storage trailer. Don and I had parked this 17-foot trailer that had all of our possessions in it, everything that didn't fit into our little one-bedroom, maybe about as big as this, a student apartment in South Carolina. And we had parked our this trailer with everything we owned behind the house. For a year and a half, it had been there. and one morning it was gone. Obviously, the thief had made an appointment with somebody because they needed some kind of hitch to put on a truck. Car couldn't pull this. Came in the middle of the night and carried off everything that we had. The police told us that the thief was probably after the trailer, not the possessions, because of course they couldn't have known what was inside, and that they were probably after the trailer, and we would probably never recover any of the things that were in there, and that was true, we never did. We did have insurance, so we were able to replace some of the items, a number of the things that Don had fun replacing the tools, let me tell you. that was a good thing. If we had known the hour that thief was coming, we would have stayed awake. We would have been alert. We would have been watching at the window with our hand on the phone to call the police. But we didn't know. We weren't able to prevent that because we weren't alert. He didn't make an appointment. He was an unexpected visitor in the night. God doesn't make appointments either. Are you prepared for the unexpected, unannounced visit of the Son of Man? Who is it that you would readily let into your house without an appointment? I don't think you'd open the door to a thief or to a stranger and welcome them in, but I think you would welcome a friend. Who is it that you allow to interrupt your busy work schedule? I don't think you'd stand around to talk with an unannounced salesperson who knocks on your door. But you would welcome a friend. Even during a meal, you would take a call from a long-distance friend. But if it's a computer or a salesperson or someone asking for a donation, you would just hang up. Who is it that you would welcome in unannounced, unexpected? During this Advent season, we are constantly encouraged to keep Christ in Christmas. Remember the reason for the season. But maybe we need to focus some of our attention on knowing Christ as a friend. Who will we welcome who comes at an unexpected, unannounced time? We will not welcome that person if we don't know who it is. If Christ is our friend, that visit, that unannounced, unexpected arrival will be welcomed. Who is it that takes priority in your life? The question that Scripture asks us, who or what is important right now? And when Christ comes, will you know Christ as a friend and welcome Christ? Advent is a time of waiting, but not waiting aimlessly. Waiting expectantly. So waiting for the word to be fulfilled, waiting for that announced, unannounced, that expected coming of the Lord Jesus. We expect, but it is unannounced. And in this Advent season, the good news is that Jesus is present with us even before he comes in glory. Remember, Jesus said, I am with you always. We're waiting for Jesus, but surprise, Jesus is already here. Jesus is present in the church that reconciles and loves, protects and cares, comforts and teaches, nourishes and welcomes. Christ is present already. Maybe that's the unexpected surprise of Christmas. Maybe that's the unexpected surprise when Christ returns, is that he's been here all along. Maybe the unexpected surprise is that he didn't need an appointment because he's already here in the bread and in the wine, in the word proclaimed, in the community of faithful Christians gathered in his name. Jesus Christ is already here. This is no stranger to you. This is your friend. This is a familiar friend. Jesus Christ is not a stranger to you. The coming of that unannounced, unexpected, but long-awaited friend is someone you know. Jesus Christ, who is here, who is with us. This is no intrusion. This is an expected visit that is welcomed because Jesus is here. In the bread and wine, in the water poured in baptism, in the word proclaimed as we listen to the scriptures together, in the community gathered in his name, Jesus Christ is here, our familiar friend. Jesus is here. Jesus is coming. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.